We have passed Purim. Hopefully it's been a Zman of Aliyah for all of us, and we're on our way to Pesach. So for the next couple of weeks, I'd like to have the Shiurim center on what Pesach might be made to mean for us. It seems to me that Pesach has, there's so much surrounding that Yontov, that if Lemaisa, what happens is that we celebrate Pesach, we eat the matzah, we mekayim the mitzvahs, and then after Pesach we return to normal. It seems to me that that's a pretty big failure. It seems to me that if we ma'ayin in Pesach a little more than perhaps we usually do, we may be able to get from the experience of Pesach an aliyah and to become better Yidden. So let's spend a little time, next couple of shiurim, to try and understand what Pesach might be demanding of us. There are plenty of places where we can start. I thought it would be interesting to start in the Nusach of our Tefillah. V'titen lona Hashem Elokeinu maradim l'simcho chagim u'zumanim l'soson. Es yom chakamatzos hazeh zman chegoseinu mikro kodesh. On Shavuos, Zman Matan Toroseinu Mikro Kodesh. On Sukkos, Zman Simchoseinu Mikro Kodesh. What exactly is meant by those descriptions of the Yomim Tovim? That Pesach is called the Zman of Cheros, Shavuos the Zman of Matan Toroseinu, and Sukkos the Zman of Simcha. What exactly lies in those words? Now, we've all been taught, and I think maybe I've mentioned this before, we've all been taught that Cheros means freedom. And I think that probably in modern Hebrew, they probably use the word Cheros as freedom. The emes is that it's not so poshut that that is what Cheros really means. The word Cheros doesn't really appear in Tanakh very much at all. Lemaisa, the word chorim is very interesting. The word chorim appears, and especially in Nehemiah, in the Aramaic Loshen, where the chorim are a certain level of aristocracy. Ma'abim chore Yehuda iklosehem v'lakohanim v'lachorim v'lasagonim in Nehemiah. They're mentioned together with an aristocracy. So chorim was a certain measure of aristocracy. And I guess you could say that aristocrats are free. But it seems to me that it goes the other way around. The way I always start from when I think about this is in Bechukaisai, where the Torah finishes talking about Yitzias Mitzrayim, and it says over there, Va'olich eschem koimemius. Rashi says koimemius is bekoimu zekufa, and the Targum over there translates cherusa. So it seems to me that cherus is the equivalent of koimu zekufa. And really, that is, when we think about a eved becoming free, what does an eved look like when he's an eved? So we have on the Shir Shel Yom of Thursday, so there the Rebbe Yisham tells us about the fact that he took us out of Mitzrayim. Hasiroisi misevel shichmoi. I took his shoulder away from sevel. A slave has to schlep very heavy things on his shoulder. So hasiroisi misevel shichmoi. I took away his shechem, his shoulder, from bearing burdens. Kapov midud ta'avona. Now dud is a pot, a challenged pot. What does it mean, kapov midud ta'avona? So the Rav Shmuel Hirsch tightens up over there. That's what, in other words, I made him out slave. I stopped him from being a slave. Hasiroisi misevel shichmoi, in the hope that his hands will not anymore be stretched out to the challenge part, meaning that the Eved is a total dependence. He can't stand up straight. His eyes are always, his longings are always on the next meal. So whenever he gets anywhere near a pot with food in it, so he stretches out his hands to get that food. And what the Rabban Shem is saying over here is that Hasiroisi Misevel Shechma, I try to take away his shoulders from having to bear the burdens of Avdus, Kapov Midoda Ta'avana, in the hope that that would help him distance his hands from the Cholent Pot. That should not anymore be his sphere of interest. An aristocrat doesn't deal the whole time with pots of food. He has plenty of food to eat. That's not a problem in his life. So he spends his life on more useful things. But the Eved is the one whom the Meshoira over here describes as somebody whose hands are constantly stretched out to the Dud. So what would be a person who goes free? A person who goes free would be somebody who is not involved in these kind of very, very crass kind of rutzoinus. See, this word choyren is extremely important. I'm going to read to you, and it's very interesting what is being done with it. I'm going to read to you the Meturgeman. You know, the Meturgeman is the Rav Elio Bocher from the Rishonim. He was a big medaktik, and he's got a sefer called Meturgeman, which is that he takes the Aramaic words and he lists all the Hebrew words that are translated by that Aramaic term. So one of them is chur, which is the shoyrish of chaylin. So let's look what he says under the shoyrish chay chesvav resh yetzei lachavshi, which is yetzei lachavshi. Yipok levar chorin. Oh, and he says, V'chein kol loshon chofshi, meturgam chorin beloshon rabim, k'moy, shelachtem chofshim, depatir sun b'nei chorin. Choreo ve'ein shom, dehavar amrin b'nei chorin anachno. Lishvuyim deroyer, lideshvan cheiru. Now, Deroya is not Ben Chorin, but Cheru. What does that mean? See, what I wanted to point out that it's interesting is that the Targum always uses Bnei Chorin. He's describing not a state of freedom, but he's describing a person. That means an aristocrat. Bnei Chorin, again. K'moy shilachtem chavshim, tepatrahon Bnei Chorin. Or Horeo Ve'en Shom, the Havar Amrin B'nei Chorin Anachno. So it's B'nei Chorin. So the word Cheirus describes the person standing up straight, being an aristocrat. Now, in Deroya, he doesn't use the Ben, because Deroya is Taka freedom. Yeah, Tzipor Deroya is a bird who flies free. Oh, now then he goes on and he says, V'yesh oimrim, ki min ze saleh chori, the dream of the baker in Paro's dream. So what does it mean that on his head there were the three baskets, saleh chori? Salin cheru, pirush, salin shenosin b'em lechem hasorim. It's the kind of bread, he was a fancy baker, he didn't bake ordinary bread, so he carried the bread which aristocrats would eat. So that's the cheru. So the Ben Chorin is an aristocrat, a koma zekufa. And again, then he says, a mishkalacha, ukorosem deroya, v'sikrun cherusa. Again, because there we're not talking about the person. Deroya taka means freedom. Deroya means freedom. O chufsho la niten la, o cherusa. Because there it's not talking about the person who's going free, it's talking about the concept of freedom. Ephrem komemius becherusa. So the word is like this. I think that when we call Pesach Zman Matan Zman Cheruseinu, it means it's the time when our freedom expressed itself in being the kind of person who can stand upright. In other words, Cherus is really, and that's why it's wherever possible he translates Ben Choren. It's describing not a state but a person. A person is a Ben Choren. He is a creature who expresses in his bearing, he expresses Cherus. He expresses uprightness, the state of Koima Zekufa. Very, very interesting is the Maral, where he talks about the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. The first Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, which is Perek Beis, Mishnah Aleph. So it says like this: Histakel b'shlosho devarim ve'ein atobo lidei avera. Da malu malu mimcho, ayin roye ve'ozen shomaas ve'chol maasecho b'sefer nichtovim. As I said in the Mishnah, that if you are mistakel, and carry that in your mind a moment, that you glance at, you look at b'shloisha dvorim, ve'en atoboli de'avera, da malu malu mimcho, ayin roye ve'ozen shomaas ve'chol maasecho b'sefer nichtovim. In other words, look at what the Ribbono Shel Olam is doing. He's watching you, he's hearing you, and he's recording your life. Now, what's that going to do with histakel? So the Maral learns over there that is the inyan of Koima Zekufa. He says it's an interesting thing that of all the Ribbono Shel Olam's creatures, only man stands upright. Even the apes, right, they also walk on their legs to some extent, but it's also bent over to stand straight like a person stands, only a man. Zog de Maral, you know why? Because if you're bent over, so all you see is the physical world. You see the physical world, and that is the context of your life. That is what gives you ideas, that is what gives you dreams. You look at the physical world, and that is who you are. It's only if you stand b'koima zkufa, histakel, the Maral says. Look, histakel b'shloisha dvorim. You're standing up straight. If you stand up straight, you see the heavens. You don't see only the earth which is around you, which would then limit your whole creativity to something which is earth-like. Look at the heavens. And histakel b'shloisha dvorim. Use that which the Ribbono Shel Olam gives you, the ability to look upwards, to look at the heavens. And if you look at the heavens carefully enough, what will you see? You'll see an eye in Raya and an eye in Shemaz, and that kol ma'asecha you b'sefer nichtovim. That is what Koima Zekufa is, and that is what Cherus is. So Zman Cheruseinu is not the time of our freedom. Or if you do translate it that way, it's a very inexact touch. I think that Zman Cheruseinu is the time when we were able to withdraw our hands from the dud, kapov midud ta'avona, and to become people who can look heavenwards. That is really what's going on. I want to read to you, I think I've read that also before, but now when we're coming to Pesach, we should be ma'ayin a little bit in these things. Not that it's anywhere near my madrega, or probably most other people's, but it's good to hear how the Chazon Ish looked at an Elisha Yit. This is the third letter in the Koivetz Igros of the Chazon Ish, of the first Chelek. So he says like this: Yediyas haTorah ein ze pshuto shel sugyu b'chaye odam. If you want to know the Torah, you can't live a simple life. Ki aloy amru ein divrei Torah miskaimim elo b'mi shememis atzma oleha. If you want to have your divrei Torah miskaim, you have to be memis yourself on it. What means you have to go and take arsenic? No. How you memis yourself? Hamisa Shabakan Hu Hanatio Mipshuta Shalchayim. Misa over here means a distancing oneself of simple from simple living. Le'oimka Shalchayim. Instead you leave go from the Pshuta Shalchayim and you enter the Oimka Shalchayim. Le'soich Teicha Shalchayim. Kol Sha'odha Mabe Beshviras Hamidas Mabe Chayim. When we are shiver our middos, then we are killing our superficial lives. Umiso shel hayetzer hamemale kol aguf. Hu achayim hamoylech bedaka shel toira. Once you've killed superficiality, and once you've killed the yetzer, then you are on the path to toira. Midos hamushchosos rabos heino. V'hem atzmoi besora shel odam. We are full of ugly middos. V'hamem es achas mehem. Hem es es atzmoi. U'mitzas atzmoi kekol atzmoi. V'omnom, misa zu t'chaye ba'aleho. V'divrei toiro miskaimen b'yodoi. And so on. That's a Maimonidic letter. And that is really what we're talking over here. If we are mitzar of that maral in Pirkei Avos, which I mentioned just before, that is the cheirus. The cheirus is the koimemius. Ve'olich eschem koimemius. Yitzias Mitzrayim gave you the opportunity to stand upright. Koimemius, koimus kufa, Rashi says. And the Targum says, that is cheirusa. And the maral says, pshat, in what way is standing upright cheirus? Because that gives you the ability to be hestakel b'shloisha dvorim ve'ena tobo libdei chet ayin roye oizen shemas v'chol masecho. That is all a prat in the standing up straight. And the Rabbani Shom told us that by Hasina v'atem tiyu li mamlechas koyanem v'goy kodesh. Zog der Heilige Rabbani Shlalom, I want you to be a Mamlech Kayanim. Zog Rashi Sorim, princess, aristocrat. I want you to use your Kaima Zakufa. That's a big theme in the Maral, where he talks about it all over, especially when he talks about the Nochash losing its Kaima Zakufa because he rebelled against the Rabbani Shlalom. The only reason why you have the Kaima Zakufa is that you can direct your glance upwards to the Rabbani Shem, to the sky, Yoshev Hashemayim. And if you didn't do that, so then there's no reason to give you the Kaima Skufa. You're not looking at the sky anyway. So Mimeila, the Nochash was deprived of his Kaima Zakufa. See, while we're looking at the Meturgeman, I figured I'd have a look also at this Kaimimir thing. And one thing led to another, and I found something very, very interesting. Because while I was thinking of Zman Chayroseinu, I was also thinking of Zman Matan Toyroseinu. What does that mean on Shavuos? Vatitan lono moedim simcho chagim zmanim lesoson es yom. Now that bothered me, and I think I may have mentioned that also once, that why Toiroseinu? That's not used in the Torah. It's never called our Torah. It's never called our Torah. It's called Toiros Hashem. The pasuk in Tehillim. Ki im b'soiros Hashem chepzoi v'soirosoi yegei yamam v'loilam. Oh, so I asked people about that. So somebody said, a couple of people told me, well, you know the Chazal, that Ki Mesoros Hashem Cheftzai, first it's called the Toros Hashem, or Mesoros Sai, Yege Yom Avaloil, and it becomes your Torah, it becomes our Torah when we are Omel. Oh, that's a Chazal, Kol HaKavod. The emes, though, is that I don't think that's the Pshuta Shel Mikra. The fact is that if you look in the Ibn Ezra over there in Tehillim, let's see what it says over here. Over Toivosa Yege, ki ein loy esek v'chefetz v'havlei ha'olam. His higoyon is not in Havlei Ha'olam. Rak kol cheftzoi betoiras Hashem la'asos ha'mitzvos. He says, he's not going like the Chazal. In other words, he's going that the Uvsoiv Osoig goes back on Soiras Hashem. And the emphasis is that the correct usage of the pronoun of so would be on the noun that immediately preceded it. So if what preceded it was the Toiras Hashem, so then the pronoun of so should go back on the Torah of Hashem. Now, so I think that maybe Zman Matan Toroseinu means something else. It doesn't mean that the Rabbeinu Shalom gave us his Torah. That means the Torah, Aseres HaDibros, that he gave it to us on Shavuos. He gave it to us on Shavuos, but maybe that's not what the Mesaktim of the Nusach of the Tefillah had in mind. What did they have in mind? I'm just guessing that. I don't. I've never seen it in any sefer, but think about it and maybe you'll agree. If you don't agree, so it's also okay. You've got a lot of good Yidden who hold like you. But I think that maybe Soigos, I'll tell you why. Because what do we say in the morning? Birus HaTorah. We're talking to Hashem, Hashem's Torah, right? And then we say, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Asher Baruch Habonu Mikol Ha'amim, V'noson Lonu Es Toirosa. So Nesina is associated with Hashem's Torah. So why would the Mesaknim of Tefillah over here call it Matan Torah, the Nesina of the Torah, and it's our Torah? Yeah? Zman Matan Torah say Nu. That doesn't go together, because when you're using the word Nosan, you're thinking from the point of view of the giver, not of the receiver. You have Nosan Lono Es Toroso, it says in Birkas HaToro. I don't know, but I imagine that probably the Nusach of Birkas HaToro, which is Daraisa, was probably there before the Nusach of Atav Chatonu and Vatitan Lono. I don't know, I haven't traced the history, I don't know. But I'll call upon him. From Birkas HaToro, you see that when you're talking about Toro Soy, you're talking about the Rabbeinu Shem's Toro. Nosan Lono Es Toroso. Nosan Toroso. You give the Rabbeinu Shem's Toro. Matan Toroso. But Toroso Nu Mapetam. So I thought that maybe Toro means something else over here. And that would fit in with like the general thrust of what I'm trying to suggest in this shir. I think that maybe, just like Zman Cheiruseinu on Pesach means, yeah, you gave us Moedim L'Simcha Chagimu Zmanim L'Sason. As Yom HaKamatzah, the Zman Cheiruseinu, the time when we became aristocrats, V'atem Tiyuli Mamlechas Kohanim Sovim. So it's talking about us. So that's why it's Sosan L'Tidon Hashem HaKeinu. They're happy days. Why are they happy days? Oh, because you made me into an aristocrat. You made me into somebody who's able to stand behind the Asukufa. You made me into somebody whose mabot is directed heavenwards. So I think that also, Nosan Lono, Zman Matan Toroseinu, may be the notion, Zman Matan Toroseinu, in that phrase, Torah does not mean the Torah, Hashem's Torah, but it means the usage with which we ought to live. Just like we have in the Torah, Zos Torahs HaNozir, or Torahs HaOyla. That means that what you're supposed to do as a Nozir is called the Torah of the Nozir. Or what you're supposed to do with the Oyla is called the Torahs HaOyla. So I think that maybe Toroseinu means that Shavuos is the day when you gave us our Hanhoga, when you taught us how is a Yid supposed to look. And that is what we thank you for. Yeah, Mayadim L'Simcha, Chagim Zmanim L'Soson. as Yom HaKashvur, says the man, Torah Seinu, you told us how a Yid is supposed to look. Oh, Rebbeinu, I'm so grateful. What did you say? V'atem tiyulim amlechus kohanim v'goy kodesh. You told me how a Yid is supposed to look. So I'm going to try and be an aristocrat. I'm going to try and be what Pesach started teaching me, that I'm supposed to be a Ben Chorin. And remember that Meturgam, and that's my thing, that when the Torah says, what do you call it, the chavis and so on, I mean the freedom chavshi, it's b'nei chavri, and he always talks about the person, and the saleh chavri is the bread which aristocrats eat, and that is the whole thing, and then it fits together sukkahs. Sman sim chaseinu, we are happy. It's not that the Rabbi Nisham gave us happiness, right? Sman sim chaseinu. So that's my suggestion. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know. But I think that all the three, that Zman Cheiruseinu means the Zman when we can justifiably regard ourselves as aristocrats. Zman Matan Toroseinu is when the Rebbein Shem told us in two very simple words, maybe not simple to live by, but simple to understand, that what the Rebbein Shem wants from us is that we should be Sogim, V'atem Tiyulim Amlechus Koinim V'Goy Kodesh, and Sukkos tells us, oh, you can be happy on Sukkos. You've got the Abba Minim, we've talked about that, Abba Minim, Zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Zeh Yisroel, Zeh Yisroel, in the Abba Minim, Rebbein Shem, and Klal Yisroel are together. Oy, Azah Simcha. So all of the three things which we say in the Tefillah on Yom Tov, I think, deal with the effect that the Yom Tov has on us. Pesach makes us into B'nei Chorin, not because we're not working, but because B'nei Chorin, we're not looking at the Dud anymore. We've gotten to a point of Kapov Midud Ta'avona, and because Shavuos gives us the way a Yid is supposed to live. How is he supposed to live? V'atem tiyulim amlechus kayanim. Act like an aristocrat. You're not a prostitute person. Don't reach out for the good dud the whole time, like the Chazanish said in that letter. And Sukkos is the Zman Simchoseinu. So, you know, I said that when maybe it would be a good idea to try and experience the Yom Tov now, Pesach coming up, that at the end of it we should like be a shtickle mensch to try and become better people, and maybe to become better people by becoming different people. And what difference? In other words, instead of being cup of midud people, we should be cup of midud ta'avona people, and we should be mamlechas kohanim, an aristocracy. You know what they say, I've mentioned, you know, in French, the noblesse oblige. Yeah, if you're noble, if you're an aristocrat, that puts chiyuvim on us. If we are, if that means, if after Pesach we stand up straighter than we stood before Pesach, because we decided to touch Cheiruseinu as the time when we are able to stand, and the emes is, that is the goodbye which the Torah gives to Yetzias Mitzrayim. And in Bechukaisai, at the end of them, there we talk, that's the end of the nice part of Bechuk HaShem. Immediately afterwards starts the Techocha. But Rabbi Nisham said, you know what I made you? And that's the only time the Torah uses that expression. I think that psychologically, what the Rabbi Nisham wanted was that as we say goodbye to Yetzias Mitzrayim, see, Vayikra is still part of Yetzias Mitzrayim, because Yetzias Mitzrayim ends, the Ramban says, with the Mishkan. That the Shechina is back, just like the Shechina was by the Ovos. So now when we have a Mishkan and the Rebbein Shem is in our midst, that's the end of Shemais. But the Mishkan needs Vayikra, because you need to know how to bring Korbanos. You need the Teiras Kayanim. So Sefer Vayikra is the Sefer of Teiras Kayanim. So that's the end of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yetzias Mitzrayim needs the Mishkan. The Mishkan needs Sefer Vayikra. So the end of Yetzias Mitzrayim is the end of Vayikra. What's the last word that the Rebbein Shem says about Yetzias Mitzrayim? The last word that the Rebbein Shem says, V'oilech Eschem Kaimemiyos. That is what I want you to come away with from Mitzrayim. Stand a little straighter. Look at yourself in the mirror, Kilo, and see in front of you a Sar, Mamlechas Koyanim, a Sar. And the Pastor said, if you have become a Tsar, so maybe it becomes a little easier to become a Goy Kodesh. It's probably very, very, very hard. Kedoshim to you. You know, another Ramban. But it's probably very difficult. But what the Rabban Shem was telling us, what's the Torah Sa'odam? Zos Torah Sa'odam. Matan Torah Seina. The Torah Sa'odam is to be machnis yourself into a matzav of noblesse oblige. Be an aristocrat. Be somebody who stands straight. Be somebody whose vision extends to the heavens. And that could be the beginning of a successful Pesach. Let's see, Yetzer Hashem. If you get a chance to say Shir next year, week again, and who knows, I hope to be in Eretz Yisrael, Yetzer Hashem, for Pesach. I don't know whether it's going to be possible. The technicalities are difficult in Eretz Yisrael to put the Shiurim on the thing. But let's see what happens. So let's concentrate on these few weeks more on a successful Pesach.